We're so glad that you are here this morning, joining us for worship, those joining us online. He is risen. Oh, you're getting tired, guys. You're getting tired. He is risen. That's a lot better. Yeah. Will you join me in a word of prayer for just a minute here? God, thank you for this amazing morning. Thank you for all the gifts and the talents that you have given so many people that can lead us in worship. Wow. What an amazing time. Lord, I pray here for just a few minutes you'd focus our attention on your word, stir in our hearts. Meet us in this place, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me draw our attention to Luke chapter 24 for just about 12 minutes here. On the first day of the week, this is what it says, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. We all understand these, what I would call pivotal moments in life. In fact, a survey was taken of all different age groups, and they were asked to name some of the historic defining moments. A few of them mentioned the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, the assassination of Martin Luther King, the landing on the moon, the Watergate scandal, the tech revolution, the civil rights movement, September 11th, and all of us just recently, COVID-19, right? We would all agree that there have been many pivotal moments in the history of the world. But would you agree with me that if you took all of those, the ones I mentioned and all the others, and you added them all together, still don't come close to the moment in history when all of God's power was put on full display, raising from the dead his son Jesus? Amen? For just a couple of minutes, I want to talk about four pivotal moments in the life of Peter. The only one who ran to the tomb. It all started near the Sea of Galilee some 3 years earlier. Peter had just finished fishing overnight, and it was a frustrating night. He didn't catch anything. And when he pulled his boat back in, he went away to wash his nets. And while he was over washing his nets, Jesus was there. He was teaching the crowds, but the crowds had become so big that Jesus wanted to go out in the water so he could talk to more people. So he gets in Peter's boat. Peter comes back, steps into his boat, and Jesus says, "Push out into the water so I can talk." And he did that. And when he was done, he said to Peter, "Now drop your nets on the side of the boat." Peter must have thought, "I don't have time for this. I'm busy trying to make my life work." But for whatever reason, he listened to Jesus, pushed the boat away from the shore, and there in the boat was Jesus and Peter. This time, Peter caught so many fish. An unforgettable encounter. Jesus then tells Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." Simon Peter responds by leaving his boat and everything else he owned right there on the shore and followed Jesus. Pivotal moment number two. Fast forward 3 years. Peter and the other disciples had followed Jesus around the countryside. They had been with him, listening to his teaching, watching all of these amazing miracles. But as time neared for Jesus' crucifixion, Peter, being Peter, said to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, come over here just a second." And it's almost like he had Jesus off to the side. He said, "Jesus, I want to tell you something. All of these other people, my friends, and all the other people around, they might deny you. They might turn their backs on you. But what I want you to know is that I never will. You can count on me. To which Jesus said, the truth is, Peter, you will disown me three times this very night. And that very night, sure enough, Peter, on three separate occasions, when he was asked, hey, do you know this Jesus? Have you been with this Jesus? Three different times, he said, I don't know the man. I never knew him. And just when the final words of his third denial left his lips, the rooster crowed, which Jesus said would happen. And instantly when the rooster crowed, Peter remembered Jesus' words, you will disown me three times. And Jesus, who was just a few yards away, turns and he looks at Peter. And at the same time, the men who were guarding Jesus were starting to mock him and beat him. And that night when Peter laid his head on the pillow, I have to imagine that as he's trying to fall asleep, kind of wrestling and running through his mind had to be those three words, I never will. I never will. Jesus' death left Peter living with an incredible amount of guilt and sorrow and self-betrayal. Unable to reconcile with Jesus before he took his final breath. So Peter goes back about his normal business. Pivotal moment number three. On the third day after the crucifixion, the women visited the tomb early that Sunday morning, found it to be empty. They rushed back to tell the others. But when Peter heard the news, he got up and he ran to the tomb. As though to say, if it is true, there's hope. Maybe Peter would have a chance after all to confess and find forgiveness. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. We can all, every one of us in this room, can relate to Peter, can we not? Many of us have made a similar declaration by saying, God, I never will. Even if all the others do, I never will. They might, but I won't. And yet we've all messed up. We've all turned away. We've all at one time or another denied him, whether it was through words or even just through our actions. Some are still denying him. Pivotal moment number four. We fast forward again to another story involving Peter, fish, and Jesus, found in John chapter 21. Peter and his buddies again were out fishing. A man hollers from the shore and says, try dropping your nets down one more time. And as they did, somebody in the boat recognized the voice of Jesus on the shore, and he said to the rest of them, that's Jesus. And at that very moment, similar to the scene when Peter heard about the tomb and he went running to the tomb, he jumps out of the boat and he swims approximately 100 yards to get to Jesus, whom he had not yet reconciled with after denying him. Conversation took place between Jesus and Peter, and Jesus was simply saying to Peter, it's okay. I know you messed up. I saw what you did. I heard you say it. You can start again, Peter. Listen to me, though, Peter. I suffered and died for your failures, for your mistakes, for your shortcomings. Jesus then, in his resurrected body, reaffirms Peter's love for him by asking him a series of three questions. Some speculate that those three questions match the three denials. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. No, Peter, do you really love me? Yes, I love you. Do you agape me, Peter? And then he ended with these two words. He said, follow me. From minding his own business, going about his everyday life, trying to make it work, to denying Jesus, to the sprint to the tomb, to the forgiveness and reconciliation, which one are you? Would you say that you're minding your own business just trying to go through life and figure out how to make it work. Maybe you're denying Jesus. Maybe you're running to the tomb wanting to believe, wanting it to be true, or you're living life forgiven and set free because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Which one are you? Many of us in this room have surrendered our lives to Christ. Probably some in this room have not. There might be some in this room who have surrendered their life to Christ, but you're out of fellowship, so to speak, with God. I want to just offer a prayer here just for a minute. And in this prayer, if you are here and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, and you're sensing even right now that the Holy Spirit is stirring in you, it's kind of drawing you in, maybe you would respond by just echoing the words of my prayer in your heart. Dear Jesus, I have betrayed you. I'm a sinner. I've made many mistakes. I've fallen short. And I know that you are the Son of God who came to this earth, who died on the cross, who shed his blood. And because of your blood, I can have the forgiveness of sin. So I ask for the forgiveness of sin. I turn away from my life of sin. I want to follow you. I want to surrender my life. I want to be able to wake up and have hope and purpose in life. And it's all found in you. In Jesus' name, amen.